Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Robert Schuller, and this is the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls. And we have this service every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific time. And so maybe you're someplace in the world where it isn't good morning, it's good afternoon or good evening, but whatever it is, I just want to welcome you to this church service. I don't know what time of the day you may be watching it. You may be watching this a week or a month or a year later after we have broadcast this live. But we just want you to know that God loves you and we do too. And typically I have a beautiful blonde sitting to my left, but this morning she is where she's supposed to be, doing what she's supposed to be doing, and that is being Grandma D. My wife, Donna, is watching her grandkids in Utah. My son asked if she could come out and watch them for a couple days, and she said, absolutely. That has been our motto since day one. When our kids ask for something, if it's good for them, if we can do it, we do it with them. So as a result of that, as adults, they still love us and want to do stuff with us. In fact, my son took me to the movies this week. And so, like I said, it's a good policy as a parent. When your kids ask you to do something, say yes, because it's going to be a very rare situation. Once they become a teenager, they really don't want anything to do with their parents. They're grown-ups. They're mature. They think they know everything, blah, 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 blah. And any one of a teenager knows exactly what I'm talking about. So they're not going to ask you to do things very often. But when they do, I want you to know that you need to say yes. So anyway, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So I noticed that John is on the line this morning. So good morning, John. It's always good to hear from you and to talk with you. And so we have a lot of different people here. And Lynn Childress, good morning. I agree with your son. Oh, let me just throw that up there. Let me see what all it says. It says, I agree. He shouldn't finish the sentence, but that's okay. So anyway, I just want to say again that this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. So I am missing Donna, but it is always good to be able to be here with you and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the privilege and the opportunity to come before you in prayer. You are the creator of everything. You are the giver of all life. And so as we come before you right now, we pray that you will touch our hearts, you'll touch our minds, you'll touch our souls, you'll touch our bodies, and that you will renew our life, that you will take away the pain, that you will renew our spirits, that you will just continue to give us your guidance, and that we might realize that with you, we can do all things. So we thank you, God, for what you're doing. We love you, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen. So anyway, there's a bunch of people coming on here, which is always the case. So here's one of my best friend's daughter, Stephanie. Blessings on this beautiful Sunday. And let's see, we have Jonathan Longfeather, Johnny Longfeather, and Linnell. There's Linnell. Good morning, Linnell. Great morning to worship God. Yes, it is. And I could go on forever. And but anyway, we just want to again say good morning to everybody. And this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice. We will be glad in it. So I want to encourage you to go to our website. It's drschuller.org. If you need anything as far as guidance and leadership is concerned, you can go there and find a ton of blogs. There, we have so many. We have written so much. Donna has done most of it, but you can go to our website. You can find those there. We have over 1,000 videos. We've been doing this a long time. And on our YouTube page, if you go to our YouTube page, that's Robert Schuller Ministries on the YouTube page. You can see over 1,000 videos. We're in the process of categorizing them all because they're all over the place and all over the map, all different kinds of subjects. We have 1-minute videos. We have 30-second videos. I think we have even 10-second videos. We have 4-hour videos, a couple of those. We did some that's the longest that Facebook will allow you to go. And I think those actually might be on Facebook instead of YouTube. I don't know. I can't keep it all straight. There's too much. We're doing too much. And so go to our website, drschuller.org. That's drschuller.org. And you'll find everything you can imagine on there. So, but anyway, so there's Donna. She's watching. Hi, Opa from Vail and Donna. So good morning, Donna. But anyway, and good morning, Vail. I love you. I'm glad you're able to participate this morning. But I'm going to be reading the scripture for Donna, and because she's not here. And in fact, I'm reading two scriptures this morning, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. The first one I'm going to read is from Genesis, and it is the second account of the creation, which we find in Genesis 2. So hear these words from Genesis 2, beginning with the fourth verse. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden, and from there it was separated into four headwaters. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Important lesson for us today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us life, for creating this beautiful planet and giving it water and life. And so, oh God, we give you praise and honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So I'm going to read another scripture, and this one is from John 3. And both of these are relevant to my message this morning, which I'll be delivering shortly. But let me share with you our second scripture from John 3. And so hear these words. Now, so no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they do not believe in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, But people loved darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. John 3. So I share these two passages of scriptures with you because I'm going to be talking about that later in my message. But right now I want to let you know that one of the things we do every Sunday morning is we give everybody an opportunity to give their gifts. This is an opportunity for us to physically and tangibly express our praise and thanks to God. You know, we can thank God all day long with our voices. That's not tangible. What's tangible is a number. We're going to talk a little bit about numbers today and the significance of numbers and how big numbers are. We just roll numbers out like they don't mean anything anymore. But here is the facts. The facts are that tangible things can be decided with numbers. How big is your house? You have a square footage in your house. How much is in your bank account? There is a number. You can measure the distance between cities. You can measure the distance between the Earth and the Moon, the Earth and the Sun, the Earth and the closest planets. We can measure almost everything. We can measure the speed of light. We know exactly how fast light goes. Those are all tangibles. When we give our gifts to God, in a tangible way, it means a financial contribution. And God will bless you for your faithfulness and your trust in Him. So I want to encourage you to donate to this ministry or another ministry, wherever you find your spiritual growth, wherever you know that there are people who share the good news of Jesus Christ in a positive, wonderful, freedom-loving way. Here in the United States, we are under attack. Our freedoms are under attack. Our freedom of speech is being challenged all the time. Our freedom to worship, we witnessed that in 2020 when the churches were forced to close. We are being attacked medically when we were, our physical anatomy, our freedom of bodily choice has been taken away from us with the jabs being required to keep your job. The list goes on and on. I could spend the entire time talking about that. But here we are. We support freedom. We understand what's going on. So you might want to consider supporting a ministry like that that understands what's going on spiritually and freedom-wise in the United States. So if you wish to support this ministry, there's three ways you can do it. I'm going to throw up a picture here in the middle that'll have our address written on it. And let me see, come on up here. Just gonna come up here. Where are you? There it is, found it. So we have our Venmo account, which is the Robert Schuller Ministries. You'll see that in one corner, it says Venmo. There's a picture of Don and I in the middle. If you're not watching on your phone, you can take your phone and just simply take your camera and point it at that QR code on the Venmo, and you can give through Venmo if you do that. The box to the right will take you to our giving platform, Givelia, and you can give that way. And the third way you can give is you can write to us at Robert Schuller Ministries. You can make your checks out to Robert Schuller Ministries, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. You'll see that listed there as well. Then you can go to our website at drschuller.org, and at the bottom of our website in very plain so everyone can find it is our address, and you can have that as well. And then there's also the I'd like to give button, and you can do it that way. So I just want to thank you in advance for what you're able to give. And I want you to know that God will bless you. He's very succinct about that. There isn't any question about it. what people get confused about is that if they give $10, that God's going to suddenly give them $100. That's not impossible. That happens. But that's not necessarily the way God's going to bless you, because there may be something you need far more than money. And God knows what you need, and God will give you what you need. That's the thing we have to understand. That's the way the blessings of God works. He's not like the genie in the bottle who tricks. You know, every time you see a story or read about the genie in the bottle, the genie always tricks the one who's being supposedly blessed by the genie. So I want you to know that God is not a trickster. He wants to bless you in every way possible. And one of the ways we receive the blessings of God is to adhere to his word and do what he has called us to do. And he said, give, and it should be given back to you. Press down, shake together, and running over. For with what measure you give, it shall be given back to you. So it's pretty, it's there in black and white. And so it's important for us to give. And so I want to encourage you to do that. If not to this ministry, to another ministry, and experience the blessings of God. So if you're in the area, if you're ever in the Newport Beach, California area, I want you to come down to the Civic Center in Newport Beach. And that's where we have our services every Sunday morning at 10:30 live. And I share stuff in that service, which I can't share on any of these platforms, because they will often deplatform us. There's information that certain government agencies do not want you to know. They call it malinformation. It's not misinformation. It's just information they don't want you to know. That's what's malinformation. For a long time, they labeled it disinformation. And then what they figured out is people figured out that they're taking down information that's actually accurate. So now they call it malinformation. And again, it's a way to control you and me by our government agencies in the United States and quite frankly, the English-speaking Western world. So we're talking the Great Britain, a lot of Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the U.S. is the main target of this liberal ideology, which is there to control and manipulate the masses. So, hey, I'm getting off on a tangent. I don't want to go there right now, but I just want you to say I share stuff at 10:30 on Sunday mornings that I can't share anywhere else. So I want to welcome you to come to our service at 10:30 this morning if you're in Newport Beach. And again, that's, of course, Pacific time. So with that, let me go into our message. I've been going through the I Am statements of Jesus, and I've been going straight through the Gospel of John, because that's where the statements are. They're all in the Gospel of John. And we've been looking at a different one every week. What I've been doing the last two Sundays is dissecting I Am the Way, the Truth, and the Life. And so 2 weeks ago, I did I Am the Way. Last week, I did I Am the Truth. And this morning, I'm doing, you guessed it, I Am the Life. And when we look at the Gospel of John, what's interesting to realize is that the first 12 chapters of the Gospel of John takes place over Jesus' three-year ministry. So the first 12 chapters covers 3 years in the life of Jesus. Then you have the next seven chapters dealing with literally nothing more than 24 hours. Chapters 13 through 19 in the Gospel of John is a 24-hour period of time. And within that 24-hour period of time, Jesus gives us tremendous teaching that John shares with us in his gospel. And in chapter 14, it is there that he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And this morning, I really want to share with you what Jesus means when he says, I am the life. when Jesus said, I am the life, he is actually saying basically three things and maybe more. This is a loaded sentence. It is as an unbelievable statement. And there's so much in here that I could talk about. But he says, I am the life. And when he says that I am the life, he is the light of life. In John, that I read just a minute ago, in John chapter 3, he says specifically in verse 19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. And that's Jesus. Jesus is the light that has come into the world. It is the light of life. And what we realize that light is an energy. I've studied a little bit about light. Light is a very heavy, big topic and something that we could spend countless hours talking about. But light is probably one of the most interesting things from a molecular standpoint that one can ever imagine. I can tell you that Einstein spent so much of his life studying light and understanding light. And one of the things he did is during the Second World War, he got permission to actually go into enemy territory in order to be able to study light because there was an eclipse going on. And he wanted to prove that light would bend. And he was able to do that with his telescopes and the other things that he had because of this eclipse. And he was able to do that. He spent his life studying light. Now, what do we know about light? We know that light travels at such a speed that it can go from here to the moon in about a second and a half. It is so fast, it'll circumvent the globe, the entire world in a second. It'll circumvent the Earth seven times in 1 second. The speed of light is beyond our imagination. In fact, I said we were going to be talking a little bit about numbers because our numbers today are so big and so vast that we don't really stop to think about how these numbers and how massive these numbers are. So here's what we know. We know seconds because you can count it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Those are seconds. In fact, that's probably a little faster than a second. But here's what we know. If a million seconds, how long is a million seconds? If you could count each number in a second, how long would it take you to count to a million? We know it will take you 11 and a half days to count to a million. There's 11 and a half days and if you count the seconds. So what's the difference between a million and a billion? You know, we hear these numbers, a million, a billion, a trillion all the time, right? So how many seconds are in a billion? What's the difference between a million and a billion? Well, it's 1,000,000,000. Well, how many is that? So a billion seconds is 31 years, 274 days. That's the difference between a million and a billion. It goes from 11 and a half days to almost 32 years. So now we hear about the budget of the United States of a million being $1 trillion and so many trillion dollars. How much is a trillion? How much more is a trillion than a billion? So a billion seconds is 31 years, 274 days. A trillion seconds is 31,710 years. 31,710 years. That's how many a trillion seconds is. We hear these numbers bouncing off of our government leaders and off of different entities and astrophysics, and we just get lost in the time. And how, what does that have to do with light? It says that the closest planet to Earth that could possibly contain life is 1,000 light years away. A light year is how fast light will travel in a year. Now, I want to remind you, in a second, it circumvents the entire globe. It goes to the moon and back in a second. And it is 100,000 years away. The number is so vast, so unbelievable that we can't even imagine. In fact, I roll out the term 100,000 years, and it's okay, it's just 100,000. Well, the pyramids were built 4,000 years ago. We're talking 100,000 years from now. We cannot even begin to comprehend how vast this is. And God created it all. And it is all created with light. Light is an electromagnetic radiation source. We don't understand it. It is an energy. Now, and it is beyond our comprehension, because in many ways it isn't God, but it is part of God. It is what makes life. It is what creates life. It is energy. Everything we have is, it contains light in some way, shape, or form. When I say that light is hard to comprehend, I'm just grasping at it. It's kind of like trying to understand God. All I can really do is grasp at it. My mind and the mind of man is just not capable of understanding the magnitude of who God is, what he can do, how he works, how he functions. That is the light of life. Jesus says, I am the life. He is the light of life. But not only that, he is the breath of life. We read in Genesis that when God created Adam, he took a lump of clay, basically. He took the dust and he molded this human being, and then he breathed the breath of life into this lifeless lump of clay. And you know, we can think of the beautiful painting in the Sistine Chapel by Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo. Where the fingers are just coming together. There's the hand of God touching almost touching the finger of Adam. I'm sure you've seen that picture before someplace. It's very common. They blow up just the hands, and then the next section is Adam and God, and then the next section is the larger picture, and then of course the entire Sistine Chapel. The fallacy of that picture is it takes the intimacy of the creation of man away from God. God didn't just touch him with his finger and create life. He breathed the breath of life into Adam. And it's more like they were kissing, or God was giving Adam mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. It was the beautiful breath of life. And I want you to have that picture, that intimacy of God with Adam, and not just Adam, with everybody. Every single human being is a mammal. And as such, there comes a point where the mammal grows in the womb, but then has its first breath. And life surges throughout the animal. A friend of mine had bought a drone. He was staying at on a beachfront condominium in Cabo San Lucas, or actually outside of Cabo San Lucas on the corridor there. And he was flying his drone up and down the beach when he saw a whale. And this whale was really in shallow water. It looked like it was in about 30 or 40 feet of water. It was shallow enough where you can actually see in this drone coverage. His drone is a camera, of course. And in this drone coverage, you could see the shadow of the whale reflected on the sandy bottom. So that's how shallow the water is. And it is there that this whale, in his foot cover, in his footage, this is a humpback whale, gives birth while he is filming it. And you can see this whale, it's just kind of floating, motionless. It hasn't come to life yet. It doesn't know what to do. And the mother goes, puts her nose under this whale and lifts him to the surface, and we watch this whale take its first breath. It's the most amazing footage I've ever seen ever. It is absolutely spectacular and very rare, because typically what happens when a whale gives birth is other whales will come around the mother while it's giving birth and create a shield of bubbles. I mean, this is just miraculous the way God's creatures work. But they will create a shield of bubbles so that the mother can give birth in without the threat of other animals, specifically sharks or other things coming along and attacking the baby. And not until the baby is able to swim on its own do the whales stop giving that coverage of bubbles. It's amazing. So to see this mother go away from the others and give birth on her own and give the first breath was unbelievable. I have two nieces. We're twins, identical twins. And when they were born, they were the youngest, smallest babies to date to survive. Amber and Alicia Pursley, they're given names. They now have married names, but they were so small that I could hold them in the palm of my hand. They literally were smaller than my hand. That's how small these infants were. And the reason that preemies have a hard time surviving after birth is because their lungs haven't developed. But what happens today in order so that preemies are able to survive is they have liquid oxygen that they fill the lungs with, and that liquid oxygen prevents the lungs from collapsing. And as a result of that, they are able to keep these babies alive. It is the breath of life. And what we need to realize is from the very beginning, when God created Adam, he breathed the breath of life into. And today, with every single birth, you yourself, listening to me, there was a time when you took your first breath, you were born. And at that immediate time, you had this relationship with God that is unbroken to this very moment. And God's love for you has not veered one iota. Jesus, when he says, "I am the life," is saying that he is the light of life, he is the breath of life, and he is eternal life. Because as we read in John, the light of life comes and exposes our sinful nature and our sin behavior. And if we ignore that, if we deny that, like Adam, we will have the knowledge and experience death without the light and experiencing life. Jesus is the light of life that comes to forgive our sins and give us eternal life. And that's who Jesus is. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And that's what God wants to give you. So he wants to give you eternal life and not death. He came that you might have life and have it abundantly. He didn't come so that you can be, he can punish you and kick you away and ostracize you and leave you out. Quite the contrary. He came that you might have an understanding and a pathway to God. In my first message of this trilogy, The Way, the Truth, and the Life, I mentioned that because he is the way, he is the way out, the way through, and the way in. Now I'm saying that he is the light that creates all life. He is the breath of life. So we are born again, as the Bible says in earlier in John 3. He is talking with Nicodemus, and Jesus says, you must be born again. You must take your first breath. And that first breath is we receive when we say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It takes when we say, I love Jesus. This past week, I interviewed a couple, and I interviewed them because they want to put their child in a Christian school, and the Christian school wants a pastor's recommendation. And the questions that they ask are very simple. Number one, what is your relationship with Jesus? And when people are asked that, what's your relationship with Jesus? It's not uncommon for people to freeze. They just don't know how to answer that question. And so I loved them and I said, do you love Jesus? Yeah, they said, yes. Oh, yes, we love Jesus. And then, do you follow Jesus? Do you believe he is the way, the truth, and the life? And they go, yes. So I said, what's your relationship with Jesus? They love Jesus. He is their way, their truth, and their life. That's their relationship with Jesus. And that's what God wants to see from you. He wants to experience and he wants to witness your a life abundance so that you can live eternally with God forever in the heaven on earth, in the Garden of Eden that will be in the time when God comes to earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done, we pray. And so we pray the Lord's Prayer on a regular basis with the full knowledge that Jesus will return and bring the kingdom of God, and we will be invited in to live with him eternally. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it is the light of life, the breath of life, and it is the eternal. Jesus is good. He's your friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. So whenever somebody asks you, what's your relationship with Jesus? The answer is simple. I love Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you gave us your Son. You extended yourself into the form of a human being. You breathed the breath of life into us. You continue to guide and lead us in every possible way. So we pray, O Lord, right now, that you will open our hearts and our minds to the full knowledge of your goodness. That with faith, we will take that leap beyond what our minds have the capability of understanding, to realize that with you, we can do all things. And so we love you, Lord. And we praise your name always and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace. You're lying down, you're rising up, your labor, your leisure, your laughter and your tears. Until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen. Support this ministry, please. Go to our website, drschuller.org. That's drschuller.org. Hit the I'd like to give button. Support this ministry or write to us, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California. God is blessing you. Go with him. God loves you, and so do we.